Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another very special episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. And this is a very special episode because Wednesday, when we would normally release this episode, is Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And we love Christmas, and we love our families, and we know you also love your families and probably don't want to be listening to this the day it comes out on Christmas. If you do and are that dedicated, I appreciate it. Go get help. But yeah, we just figured we're going to release this a little early today. Early today. It will come out today. So you will hear this probably potentially 2 hours after this has happened. So kind of cool special thing for you guys there. But Dan, thanks for being here on this Christmas week. Mm-hmm. I know it's very busy, so we may as well just jump right in. What did we talk about this last Sunday?
We talked about Jesus being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as we've been looking at some of his names and titles coming up to Christmas and reminding ourselves or being reminded or learning that this is why we celebrate his coming and his character and all the things that he's done. And so this was kind of a bit of a culmination. And on Christmas Day, we'll think about Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, which is a wonderful thing. But we thought about him being this ruler and really the true authority and power. And we use the story of the Magi visiting Jesus and, of course, having conversation with King Herod first as kind of an example of this. They came to visit the one who is the king, and Herod's the king. Well, not the one we're looking for, not the true king. And they find Jesus, and they worship him and bow before him and give him their gifts. And, of course, we see that. And we connected with a few other passages to talk about why Jesus can claim this title, his rule over creation. We talked about some of the passages in Revelation, which point to how this inner longing we have, which is not always, I don't think, a bad thing, for some sort of order in our lives and security is met in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ as well. And then, how does this change the way we live now? And I think that's probably where we'll go with a lot of our conversation today to get more deeply. But yeah, just overall, I hope a comforting thing to be reminded and know Jesus is the King of Kings, right? He's in control. We see all kinds of leaders, some that steward their power and position very well, others not so much, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And yet to know that in the midst of all that, Jesus is in control and leading things forward, it's a comforting thing to know.
It's so comforting, and especially given, like, we were kind of talking about how, like, we have these two core desires as humans, which is to have power and have protection from power, and also, we're humans, so we're sinful. So we are not going to use our power well. No one will use their power mm-hmm. well. Like, so this is just really encouraging for me as I was listening to this to be like, you know what? Despite how flawed we are, how flawed our species is, mm-hmm. you know, God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has that power and he uses it well. So mm-hmm. I was just so encouraged by that. I do wonder, and I guess I'll start with a question and then use a little clarifier afterwards. So how can we tell if we're using our power poorly? So, you know, we're not all super powerful, influential people. Some people are. Some people are in charge of businesses. Some people, you know, are in government and what have you. And so there's some really obvious examples of how you can use your power poorly in that sense. But for a lot of us normal people, we have power over the clothes we wear. We might have some power over the route we take to work or even the job. Sometimes we don't have a lot of power over that. But I'm just wondering, for those of us who have mm-hmm. normal amounts of power over our lives, how can we tell if we're using that power poorly?
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question. Or using it well.
I mean, or using it well, yeah.
Just evaluating that in some way. One thought I have, I think Scripture points to this individually, but it could fit with this too, is to examine the fruit that's coming from our positions and how we're using that power, right? And I don't think this is 100% foolproof, right? Because even look at Jesus, he's working with his disciples. He's got, you know, Judas Iscariot in that group the whole time who's going to betray him. And of course, has others who listen to his teaching and they don't follow along. But in general, I think we can look and say, hey, I've been given a role as a manager in my job and I'm leading the, what's coming of that? Are they doing good work? Are they trying to treat each other well? Or, you know, the things you're trying to produce, is that happening? Or is there more of a negative sense coming out? Or another thing you could do is ask for feedback in a certain setting, or pay attention to feedback you're getting from those you're leading. And if it's always, yeah, you're a terrible boss, or you're, you know, doing these things, you really look down on us, or you're, you know, kind of lording it over us, to use a scripture word, or we feel like, you know, intense pressure from you, or whatever, bullying, whatever it is. Well, that's, of course, not the way as Christians we want to go about utilizing whatever responsibility, power God's given to us. So that might be another way in situations where you can get feedback. You probably don't want to ask your teenage kids for feedback because, you know, it'll probably always be negative, perhaps, in that sense, but unless you catch them on a good day. Yeah, I think then, too, just looking at reviewing ourselves. How have I been in the role? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit just, you know, a few weeks ago. We went through that whole piece. You can use that to measure yourself. I can use it to measure myself. How am I going about this? Am I doing it in this character? How did last week go? How did this last month go? What were we seeing there? And, oh, no, I was being very selfish.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, causing dissension. Or I felt a lot of anger or even hatred toward these people I'm leading over, or something like that. Of course, that's not a sign of being in a good direction, of trying to use whatever responsibility, power God's given us in His way. Yeah. So, yeah, that honest self-evaluation, what's resulting, you know, from the way I'm leading and doing things, and then maybe just from direct feedback at times, or
when you can get it.
Yeah, yeah, or even through the rumor mill if you hear it that way.
Well, and I really love, as far as like for the self-evaluation piece, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I love the whole, you know, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. who gave up all of His power and privilege for the service of everyone around Him, even the people who would kill Him. Mm. And I think that's a really good standard that we're all going to, if we're honest, we're never going to live up to. But again, it's a really good way of being like, okay, if I have any power, mm-hmm. how am I using this in a self-sacrificial way for other people and for right. the glory of God?
Right.
I think that's a really good measure to be like, was this for other people? Was this self-sacrificing? Or was this really kind of just to boost me and my plan and mm-hmm. whatever I would like to see come through?
Yeah. As always, Jesus is not only our Savior, He gives us the perfect template for what human life is supposed to be. So like you said, that servant leadership, that humble leadership, Jesus lays that out. You know, the Son of Man didn't even come to be served, but to serve, and even mm-hmm. to give His life for us. So, yeah, I think that's ultimately what we're always going back to. But, yeah, it's a good piece to think about because, as you said, Austin, we all have some measure of authority. Maybe it's even just over your own life. How's that going? And so, yeah, but usually in other areas too.
Yeah. And one of the big challenges with power is, and it, kind of what we were saying earlier, you know, we have this fear of people using power poorly against us.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is a very natural experience. We talk about this a lot. And one of the things that you said during the sermon was that, you know, Jesus has conquered everything that can threaten our security. So we can rest safely in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the hope of His power. You know, we talk about in Scripture and other places, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these powers and principalities. And one of the main practical points that we talked about on the sermon was, you know, we should hold our faith above the fear we often feel in the world. But that is a really complicated and difficult thing to do because, for starters, fear is a gift from God that He gave us. To know how when we should stop doing something, to know when something's dangerous or harmful. Mm-hmm. What is the balance between letting go and letting God, as the common phrase would go, and taking matters into our own hands when we're presented with a scary situation that we can resolve? You know, mm-hmm. what does faith over fear actually mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a like a lot of things we bring up in a few minutes in a message, much, much deeper topic, you know, to get into. And because you're right. I mean, you know, biologically, physiologically, you know, fear saved as many lives as anything else because it gets us away from that saber-toothed tiger going way back that was trying to get us or other dangerous situations with vehicles or whatever it might be. And yet it can be something that can take over my life. You know, I'm never going into another valley again because that was where I ran into a saber-toothed tiger. No, there's like beautiful things here. You can get food there that you need. Like, no, I'm not going in. Right. And that's where fear can overtake us. And drive our lives in very poor ways. So that's, you're right, finding the balance as opposed to is maybe the extreme. The other side is, well, you know, I'm just going to drive down the street with my eyes closed because I have faith God will protect me. It's like, no, there's there's some realism, I guess you might say, or just some wisdom you have to use living in this world as well. And so to get back to kind of this power thing, right? Sometimes, as you said, you're in a situation where you can say, okay, what, you know, maybe some of the power being exerted over me here isn't good, but I'm in a position where, you know, this isn't life-threatening or something like that, or it's threatening my well-being or even my following of God. How do I respond? I can think about how to do that wisely and pray with the Lord, how he's leading to do that in faith. And other times it might be, and we see Christians around the world deal with this too, where, yeah, you're being threatened. Your very life is in danger. And there might be a sense of, well, what God's leading me to do here is to protect myself and my family so that we can continue to witness. And there's a lot. And you see over history, right, the early Christians with the Roman Empire, some, you know, faced the Colosseum. And a lot of the early apostles, of course, are noted to have lost their life because they were persecuted for their faith. And I felt like, well, this is where we're supposed to be now, and we're giving witness through that. But there are others, too, that fleed. I mean, even Jesus' family at the beginning of his life fleed from Israel to go to Egypt for a time because of Herod and the threat there. And God said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. And then he told them when to come back. So it's never just, you know, a simple thing, I suppose, as you're bringing out, Austin, to know, well, that's fear and this is faith. It might, like the Proverbs often point out, depend on the situation you're in. And really, this is where the faith, I think, comes in always, listening to the Lord and what is he saying and taking into account the different situations, the different reality. Well, this is when I was 25. Now I'm 55. I mean, there's different things that come into play. So I think seeking that wisdom, and if you're in community, making that decision to seek it together, because sometimes I might think this is the right decision for everybody. And then I talk to some others and, oh, maybe not. Maybe it's an option, but maybe it's not the best decision for everybody. So in general, I feel, and I felt this in our culture the last few years, that we are very quick to try and point out where other people around us are living in fear rather than faith, while conveniently kind of sweeping under the rugs perhaps the ways that we are doing that on the other side, right?
Yeah.
That's where I think we have to be careful. The point really I was hoping to get across in the message too is that we have this opportunity to not be enslaved by fear and not be taken really off track by it as can happen. And to make sure, you know, we've talked about here before some of these surveys and that of, you know, showing the levels of fear in the culture in general, but in the church on the rise. And well, we shouldn't have that level of fear. It comes up. We're always going to have some anxieties. There's going to be situations that suddenly come upon us that, you know, our body reacts to and it should react to. And, you know, I got diagnosed with cancer. Maybe I should go get that checked out. And maybe I have a surgery. And that's not living in fear rather than faith. It's also trusting the resources God's made available. So, yeah, I think a good discussion, I hope this fleshing it out a little more deeply helps us think about that in a healthier way, perhaps, in general, and as we look at those around us trying to make decisions.
Well, and I really appreciated you pointing out that we're really quick to point out other people's fear and negate our own. And I think so much of that, we have so many, everyone has their own things. And, you know, we kind of make a little joke about it. Well, I'm scared of doing. For me personally, terrified of snakes. And I believe there is both a biblical mandate to that and a practical one. But I mean, it is to the point sometimes where it is, you know, I need to have a little more of the faith side of, like, we visited the Toledo Zoo a while ago. There's a snake room there. I could barely bring myself to go into it. I'm like, if there's a wall switch that I can push that says emergency snake bite, push here, I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
But to the fact that it interfered with my ability to go and spend time with family, that's something that, you know, to me, it's a very practical fear. Also getting in the way of something, not necessarily something that, you know, whereas I can point out the ways that, you know, things that my, you know, I've got another brother who's scared of heights. I'm not.
Yeah.
Well,
that's,
you know,
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Is it really? That's just, we each have our own things. And so I really appreciated you highlighting, like, you know, this, it can look different for everyone, and what we struggle with can be different for everyone. And taking that time to do that self-examination, I really appreciated you highlighting there.
Well, you think about the first question you asked too about how we're using power, having empathy toward others, right? So I was saying, like, oh, I don't get what the big deal is with snakes, but like understanding, like, I wonder what it would be like to be afraid of that, or heights, or whatever it is. Even as we're in positions of power, to have empathy toward those maybe we've been entrusted with or leading in whatever way, that also is a sign of godly leadership, right? And mm-hmm. the way Christ uses his power, he empathizes with us in every way, we're told. So, yeah, a good connection to what we were talking about before.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dan. To move tangents a little bit here, one of the other elements we talked about, ways that we can do this practically, that we can live into the knowledge of God's power and control well, is kind of self-explanatory, but by worshiping God. Very important that we, you know, acknowledge that, you know, God is our provider. He has the power and will use it right, and so we can rest assured that he's going to use it well. But as we talked about, we're flawed humans. We don't do this well. And often we can sometimes worship other people. And you talked about this during the sermon. You know, we can put our faith and hope in people who are saying they're going to protect us from certain uses of power or whatnot. And though it's not worshiping in the context that we're familiar with in our, you know, as a Protestant, as Protestants here, we don't necessarily build a golden statue of a person who we expect to protect us from.
Right.
You know, or and we're not writing songs that we're going to sing as a gathering. That's not something we do. We would consider that idolatry. So what does worshiping someone look like in our modern and specifically also in our Protestant context?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm sure it's wider than we'll speak to here, the different ways we might do this. What comes to mind for me is I think about our worship of God and what it looks like to follow him. And when I'm doing that in my life, I'm paying very close attention to what God is saying and how I should live my life, and I'm seeking to follow that. And if I'm really worshiping him, I'm doing that in almost every way, right? He's guiding my life. And so if you think about someone in your life, it could be someone on a large scale, like a governmental leader or something, but it could be just another relationship, person in your life, authority figure, parent even, or whatever. And you're acting that way toward them where, well, if they said it, it must be true, and that's what I must do. And, they said I should do this, and so I'm doing that. And you find yourself giving to that person what you know you should give to God as far as allegiance and following the way that he is calling me to live. Because that's, I think, something I could follow. I read this person, I like reading their stuff, but I find myself always saying, well, yeah, that must be the way I need to think about it too. You're being molded in their image rather than in the image of God. And so I think that's a real caution there. We should always be able to step back and say, well, you know, I do agree with a lot of what's said there, or a lot of what this party does, but this makes me have a question. And I think maybe Scripture has something to say here that at least that needs to be held up to and say, I don't know, right? That ability to think outside of that, because ultimately God is the lens I'm supposed to see everything through, and he's the one guiding how I decide things and who I'm listening to and all of that. So that's maybe one practical piece. There is the issue of who I'm spending the most time with as well. And it looks different. I mean, if it's a spouse, right, it could be like, oh, I'm worshiping them because I'm just so, it could be a political figure that I'm just watching everything they do on the news or social media or whatever platform, every article, every news conference. I'm spending a lot of time with them rather than with the Lord in prayer or scripture or worship at church.
And we even, we look at music and we can talk about how, we've got American Idol and like we idolize and we're really easy to point out like some of these specifically in music, like if all you're listening to is this person, you kind of idolize that person. And we're very easy to point it out in that field. But I think we miss that it can apply to so many other areas too.
Yeah. And there's, it's great to have good role models, right? I mean, we talk about that. I think that's sometimes the positive side of some of this, whether it's, sports or musician or a family member. But yeah, idolatry is like the not good end of that, where this person becomes on that pedestal to a degree that they can never do anything wrong. I have to excuse anything that, might be, questionable here. And you know, kind of shape my life in that direction. And so, yeah, I think that's, we recognize, I think even in those terms, like you said, like, oh yeah, this person's kind of an idol, and the danger of that. But again, maybe just like the fear thing, we tend to see that in others, like, oh, they're so obsessed with this, and not seeing my own.
It's like, I've got friends who are super, you know, I could say, you know, Taylor Swift is an idol of theirs for sure. But then, you know, my Spotify Wrapped says that I'm in the top 0.1% of listeners to this other guy. You know, again, it's right. Obviously just one specific genre of right. examples.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, this person's really good, Austin.
Why yeah. Well, it's like my guy. It makes sense. Whereas, you know, this yeah. person, like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think just naming some of that, and we're prone to it. I often go to that quote. I've shared it, I'm sure, on here before. Calvin had of, you know, when he wrote it many years ago, that we're just a factory of idols in our sinfulness. We just create them out of nowhere almost. Anything and everything could be an idol for us. So we just have to be aware of that. And certainly when it comes to power and leaders, because they are in prominent positions in our lives in one shape or another, to be aware that this could be an issue. How am I treating this person? How am I responding to them? Because it can get dangerous.
Yeah. We are closing out our Advent series this week. So you mentioned that on Christmas Day, on Wednesday, we're going to talk about the name Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that, and then a little bit about what we're looking at moving forward into the new year?
Yeah, certainly. Christmas Day, I'm looking forward to that time of worship. Always a little bit different than a traditional Sunday, of course, but we still have a time for reflection from Matthew 1, 18 to 25, thinking about Jesus' name or title as Emmanuel, God with us. Of course, that ties back to the old prophecy from Isaiah, but just, yeah, I want to sit with that, you know, this phrase we use so often, oh, God with us, and how that is everything. I mean, that's how we have life in the Old Testament. The whole thing is about God going with his people. Oh, no, he can't go with us anymore. He's not here anymore. He left the temple. When's he ever going to come back? So to say God is with us and that he would live with us and is pointing us toward living with him forever is awesome. And so, yeah, looking forward to just spending a few minutes dwelling in that. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be off. So we're going to have a guest pastor, Kent Rotman, here. He's been here before, retired pastor in our denomination. He's actually going to reflect a bit on Matthew 2 again, the story we talked about this past week, but a little different angle as we come toward the new year, thinking about how the Magi went home by a different route after they visited Jesus. And, yeah, what route are we traveling in our lives? We come into a new year. Do we need to adjust that at all? As we come into the new year, then, we're going to do a second Advent, as it were. Of course, we've been thinking about the season of waiting, looking toward Jesus coming. But we, of course, are still waiting for him to come again and longing for that. And so we'll focus more on that. How do we live toward Jesus' return now? And a few sermons out of Revelation 3, 4, and 5, seeing one, some of the scenes in heaven, how the angels are worshiping, and that should direct our approach to life now. But also a couple of those letters to the churches that Jesus calls them out in a way to not be so lukewarm, to wake up, to be on alert, maybe to some of these things we've been talking about today. And so, yeah, this is to live a life of readiness as we wait his return too. So January, that'll be what's before us. In our time together.
Amazing. Well, there's a lot to look forward to that. So then a little bit of housekeeping then, especially about that. So then just so everyone listening knows, we will not be releasing another episode of Deeper until the 8th of January. We're going to take a little bit of that time. Yeah, and just spend it as, you know, holidays, being with people. And so if you guys have extra questions during that time, feel free to shoot us messages. We'll happily talk about it in person, just not on this format. Another thing we're looking forward to next year that we would love to make you all who are listening aware of and actually solicit some input from, we are looking to do some kind of, we don't know necessarily what we're going to call it yet, deeper dives. a name is one thing you could help us with.
Yeah, right.
But basically, we want to take, we're probably going to do this once every other month and, you know, just kind of do a special focus in on a topic. It could be cultural, theological, historical. And we're just learning more about it. One of the big things that I can anticipate we will do is, what is the difference between the Reformed Church and the Christian Reformed Church, and why are we, even just the history of how did we get here, and what are the practical differences? As someone who does not come from a Reformed background, that's a question that I had for several years while I was trying to figure it out. So, yeah, so something like that might throw around different perspectives on hell different ways that we can interpret how do we live justly. There's going to be a lot of stuff we want to talk about. So if any of you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, do let us know. We're going to start doing some research and prepping for that. Shoot me an email at tech@friendshipcrc.org. And yeah, especially names, because honestly, like, there's only so many puns I can come up with on my own. And Dan's a great help, but if y'all have any other thoughts, we'd love to hear them. So blessings on you all as you go into this Christmas season. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we will see you all in the new year.